Well, it is a privilege for me to be here again with you and to be able to share with you just how the Lord has been leading us in these past few, I suppose it's in the last year or so, just how he has been leading. I want us to read just a few verses from Psalm chapter 18 and commencing to read at the verse 29. I do also want to thank your minister and the session of the church for inviting us along. We do appreciate this opportunity. And we do appreciate your prayers that we know you have been praying for us in these past years, really. It is, I'm seeing children now that, well, they're now adults and with their own babies and prams. And I'm going, dear me, I remember when they were this height and I was teaching them in Sunday school, which is even worse. But it is a joy to be here with you. Verse 29 says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God, save the Lord? Or who is a rock, save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and causeth and setteth me upon the high places." Amen. I suppose since I've come home, the one question that everybody is asking is, how is it you're moving from here to here? How is it the Lord has led you to leave the land of Spain and to go to the land of Nepal? And so basically what I'm doing is I'm doing deputation meetings is just basically telling that part of my testimony. And I'm sure like all of you, you have been thrilled in these past years to hear how the Lord has been working in the land of Nepal and how really the Spirit of God has moved in the land of with the people in their hearts. And it's like, in a way, one of the ministers said to me that it's like in the time of Acts of the Apostles, where the people are going into a town or they're hearing the word and they're accepting it and they're just going out and telling their friends and their families. And it's just like an explosion out there of how the Lord is really moving and how his Spirit has moved. And even though I was in Spain, with the internet today, you're never really that far away. You're able to keep up to date with what was going on. And the Lord always had that interest in my mind. What is happening? How is the things going on there? And a desire to be praying for them as well. And with the web page, with our own web page on the internet, you're able to keep up to date with new prayer requests, and it was always an encouragement to see and to be able to read the information about it. But over the years, the Lord changed what was just a desire and an interest to pray and to know what was going on into a burden to actually go and visit the land. And one day I was talking with Janice, and we were talking about places that we would love to go and visit. And I said, "Janice, I'd love to go to Nepal." And she says, "Joy, I'll go with you." Now, Alan wasn't able to come, nor would Victoria, but we thought, well, we could just go ourselves and have like a wee girly fortnight. But we had this all planned that I was coming home in deputation the last time in 2013. I was coming home in 2012 and starting deputation in the January to the Easter. And the idea was that when that was over, then we would go together after Easter time and then I would be back into the land of Spain. And so the plan, we were setting the plans, we were making our plans, but you know, we should never forget that it's all in the will of the Lord. Because as we were making plans, I got a phone call from my parents to say that my dad was ill and that he was that he had cancer. The Lord was very, very good to him and he has come through it wonderfully. But it meant that the last time I was home in deputation, I was driving up every day up to the city hospital with my dad. And it was a privilege to be able to have been at home to be able to help him. But it just meant that because the doctor sort of says his treatment should stop then, but we're not sure, it'll all depend how he reacts with the treatment. And it just meant that we couldn't make any more plans and we just had to set aside what had been our desire and to set it aside for another occasion. And I suppose when I thought of it and prayed about it afterwards, I knew that it was the Lord sort of saying, closing the door, but I never believed he was closing it with a key. It was as if the Lord was saying, not at the minute. Now isn't the time. And we just continued to pray for the land. We continued with our interest to see what was going on. But the burden to actually go and visit never left us. And back in May of 2015, 3 years after the first time we had talked, I had talked about going, the Reverend Harris came to visit with us. And he was visiting with the whole Spanish team, and he was there reminding us basically that, you know, we're all long time on the mission field. And I'm sure many of you know the Reverend Hannah will be 40 years, celebrating 40 years in the land of Spain. And at Easter time, and the church has organised a dinner for him. So if you would like to be part of that, it's on the Saturday up in Coleraine, and I know you'll be made very welcome, and that you can get the application for that on the internet. But as the Reverend Harris said, Lai was 30 years last year, John was 40 years this year, and he was going, you know, you're all here long, long time. And at that stage, I was 16 years in Spain. And he says, you know, maybe the Lord's been burdening you for another place, but you thought the door was closed. But maybe it isn't closed. And you know, as soon as he said it, the Lord brought to my mind the desire that he had put on me to go and to visit in the land of Nepal. And he said, you know, maybe there's opportunities that you don't know about, and if there's something you'd be interested in, come and talk to us and we'll see how we can help you. And you know, I had the opportunity to speak with him in private. And I just said, you know, I'd really love to go and see the work in Nepal. I've been praying for it all these years, and the Lord has just put that burden to actually go and to visit in it. Now, I don't know if it was anything more than that, but I would just love to go and to visit and see the work. And the Reverend Harris just said to me, well, you pray about it, and if the Lord continues to lead you in this way, then you come and contact me and I'll see what I can do. Because there is generally always trips going out when they have their different conferences on, and I could join in with one of those conferences, one of the trips that were going out. And so we spent the whole of the summer praying and seeking the Lord what it was, what he wanted us to do, whether it was to go and to visit the land. And every time I would think and was reading in the scriptures, the Lord would bring something else, and another verse of scripture would stand out. And one of the ones that stood out forcibly to me was the words in Jonah chapter 1. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Now obviously the word Nineveh didn't stand out, but it was the arise and go to that great city. And as I was contemplating and thinking on Jonah, I was reminded that here was Jonah, a prophet, serving the Lord in the land of Israel, encouraging the hand of the people at a very, very difficult time. Scripture tells us in 2 Kings that the Lord saw the affliction of Israel and that they were being poorly treated by the people around them. And yet even then, when they needed, in some ways you sort of would have thought they needed their prophet all the more, the Lord comes in and says, now, Jonah, I want you to go over here. I want you to go to the land of Nineveh, to a new people and a new culture, and to bring the same message. But, well, for them it was a message of destruction. But if they repented, they heard the same message as us, the message of grace. And it just reminded me that the Lord sometimes moves us from one place to another, and that we need to have and to know what is that perfect will of God. We read in those words in the Psalm 18 that God's way is perfect. Now many times in Spain people have come and visited and sort of said to me, Joy, are you going to stay here? Is this just the end? You'll just stay in the land of Spain. And I always say, you know, I'm here as long as the Lord calls me here. When the Lord starts to say he wants me to go somewhere else, then I have to be willing and ready to go. But it's very easy to say that. It's not that easy to actually get up and go, as I was to find out, because you get very comfortable where you are, and it is very unsettling to have to move your home and even to leave an awful lot of your stuff and to leave your family, the friends that you have made, the family that I had there. On one occasion I had was making a cake and I was having visitors. Could even have been Alan and Janice actually, and of course I left it to the last minute to put the cake in the oven, and of course the oven didn't work. The one day you want your oven to work is the day the oven doesn't work. And so there's one other Christian in the village in Spain, and I went down to her house with this cake mixture floating in the tin. I said, can I use your oven? And she says, yes, and we'll put it in. And she says, now when are your friends coming? So I was telling her, well, you have to go back up to the house. And then she started to tell me off that I had left it to the last minute. How could you be so silly leaving it all to the last minute? You can just imagine. Well, on the Sunday, it all turned out great. The cake was beautiful. But on the Sunday, I was telling my mum what I had done. Well, here didn't she start the exact same vein as Concy had said to me. And I says, mummy, stop. I've already heard it from my mummy here in Spain. Concy has already given me the lecture. But that is what it was, because the people there were very much your family. And it was very difficult to actually get up then and leave them. But the Lord does call us. He sometimes moves us along, and we have to be willing to go, because we want to be in that perfect way. We want to be where God wants us, that we can be used of God to the best of our abilities. And as I was, I suppose, in a way hesitating, is this really what God wants? Does he want me to go and visit? Because I was scared. I was scared that if I went and visited the land of Nepal, that the Lord would end up saying, "Now, Joy, I want you to move here." Because I've always found the Lord leads me one step at a time. He didn't tell me, "I want you to go to Nepal." He says, "No, I just want you to go and visit Nepal." But it's when you make that step, then the Lord comes with another thing. And I sort of thought, you know, if I end up going, I'm scared that the Lord's going to say, "Joy, I want you then to come and work here." But we hesitated and we dithered about. And I was out walking one evening, and I was listening to a sermon on my headphones, and it was on the miracles of Christ. And the minister says, "I think there's somebody hesitating from doing the will of God. The Lord has spoken to you. He's asked you to do something and you won't do it. You're refusing to go ahead with God. Why will you not go ahead?" And you know, it was like a dagger in my heart. And the Lord was saying, "Joy, how many times do you have to be told, arise and go and visit that great city of Kathmandu?" And I was so moved in my spirit, and I believe there was a hurry in it. I had to get it done at that day. I couldn't put it off another minute. And I come home and I phoned the Reverend Harris, and he says, "No problem, I'll get back to you." Now, this was September, October time, and I assumed, you know, next year. And he phoned me the next day and says, 15 days, you've got 15 days to get ready. And I was like, "Oh, no, hold on a minute. I have to get all those injections that I get when I go out to visit Gillian in Kenya. There's no way I can be ready in 15 days, because I won't even get the appointment to see the doctor to get that type of injection. So I had to go to another city, which was 2.5 hours away. And it's just getting the appointment and then to start the treatment." I thought, there's no way, 15 days, it's not possible. And we prayed about it. We went to see our doctor in the morning, and he just laughed and he says, "You know, Joy, we can now do these injections here. Come back tomorrow, I'll order them in, and you'll be ready to go." And really, it was just how the Lord, another indication of how the Lord was leading. Now, the plan was for me to go in 15 days, because there was a youth conference on, and that I'd be able to help with that conference. The idea was I would spend a few days, first of all, with the Reverend Graham and his wife, and then go and spend just a few days in the orphanage, and then come back to where the Reverend Graham was, because that's where the conferences were going to be, and where all the young people would also be staying as well. So this was, again, our plans. But you know, our plans aren't always God's plans. And the year, of course, that I go to a conference, and where you're to be sitting to, many meetings did you have a day? I think it was about six, yeah, it's a long, long time. Well, of course, the year I go, there's a strike on. So there was no conference. We couldn't get the young people down. There was no diesel for the buses to run. So everything that had been planned for months, they had been planning it. And everything had to be cancelled, because we couldn't get the young people down from the villages to hold. Even the people on the Sunday, you could see the people on the Lord's and the weekend meetings, they weren't able to come as normal. Those who could walk were able to come, but those that maybe came from a bit of a distance and had to come on the bus, they just weren't able to come. And it was strange, because I was arriving going, and now there's no meeting. You know, Lord, why have you me here if there's no conference here, if you're not going to have the opportunity to see the people? But, you know, the Lord had it all in his plan, because instead of being just 2 or 3 days in the orphanage, it meant I was able to spend the week in the orphanage. And it was, therefore, you're able to see an awful lot more of what is going on. It's one thing to be there for a day or two, and the people are all watching to make sure you have everything you need. But after a wee while, they have to get on with their lives, and get on with their work, and you're sort of just left to do whatever you want to do, basically. And it meant you were able to see the day-to-day running of the orphanage. And for me, that was wonderful, because really, when I go, most of my work will be there in the orphanage. So in that way, it has given me that wee bit of insight. And again, you can just see how God had planned it all out. But it did mean also then that there was no gas, there was no diesel. No gas meant there was no cooking. There was no ovens, there was no stoves, we just had a wee fire. And here they were cooking for 25 children plus the adults, you know, and it didn't fizz them. It did not annoy them in the slightest. Now, for me, the hardest bit was trying to have a shower with cold water, because no gas meant cold water. But the Lord helped us through it. But they never battered an eyelid. It was as if, yeah, well, we can light a fire. Nothing to worry about. The students were in there. Establishment as well. They were in the same predicament. None of us have any gas. And it just meant that we were in the house the whole time. But the kids were off on holiday. So I decided in the mornings that I would do some English with them just to occupy them a wee bit. Now, there isn't like a sitting room for the children. The children stay in their bedrooms. There's about 8-9 children in each bedroom. So I sort of went from bedroom to bedroom between the boys and the girls doing some English classes, that English stuff that I had brought with me. But then in the afternoon, of course, you have to play some games with the children. It's not fair being off on holiday and only having schoolwork to do. So we were busy playing games with them, and most of it we did just inside the house. But one afternoon we were playing a game where you pass a cup from one person to the other, you know, on a straw, through your mouth, no hands. So it's all bending up the knee action. If somebody goes down, somebody else comes up to get your straw underneath. And that is really, really good fun. And the kids absolutely loved it. But imagine 25 children all laughing at the one time. The noise that went up was so much that Mrs. Papa came out and ordered us all to our bedrooms, including myself. But it was wonderful. It was wonderful to be with the children. And then an evening time to listen and to open the Word of God and to be able to do the Bible stories, and basically like a children's meeting for their family devotions at the end of the day. And it was gorgeous just to be able to sit with them and to share with them. Now, I don't speak Nepalese, and they don't have enough English to understand the stories, but the Reverend Papa's sister Priscilla was there to translate for us. So the children were always able to understand what was going on and what they were hearing. And it was a great joy to be able to speak with them. And while we were there, the Lord brought us just in our own quiet time. He brought me to the words in Isaiah 30 verse 21 that says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." Now the words that struck me were, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way." And not 2 days later, as I was going down the staircase, the Reverend Papa came out from his apartment down the stairs and says, "Joy, will you not come over and help us?" And you know, I just smiled and I said nothing really. And because the devil, as soon as he had said it, the devil was in my head saying, "No, no, 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 he's just being polite. He doesn't really want you to come at all. He's just being polite to ask you." Because he's seen the effort that you've put in this week with the children. And you know, the devil had me so convinced that that was true that I actually never even said anything to Wesley and Carol. But the last day we were waiting on the taxi to come, and the Reverend Sapp and two of the other pastors came to say goodbye to us. As we were about to get into the taxi, he came over and he says, "You know, I've already asked Joy, but I'm going to ask her again. Will you not come over and help us?" And you know, I just had to say, it's in the Lord's hands. We got in the car, and Carol says to me, "Did he really ask you?" And I says, "Yes." I says, "But he's just being polite." And the two of them started to laugh and says, "No, no, that's not the culture here. If they want you to come, they'll ask you. If they don't want you to come, they'll just keep quiet." And I suppose in a way, by the time I was getting on the plane, I was 80 to 90% persuaded that the Lord was saying, "Now, Joy, your next step is to go to the land of Nepal." But when I arrived back in Spain, the Reverend Hannah was there to collect us. Now, I had been counselled by the board just to say that I was going on a visit, not to say anything more, because many times the Lord does just try us to see, are we still willing to go where he wants us to go. It is his will. We want to be in his will, but sometimes he just has to challenge us like he did with Abraham and his son. Are you willing to sacrifice even your son? Are you willing to move again to another country and to a different nation? And the Reverend Hannah, when I came up to leave my car with him, he was like, "Now, Joy, why are you going?" And I was going, "No, no, it's just a visit." And he says, "Now, Joy, why are you going?" And he knew there was something more behind it. He could just sense that something else was going on. And so when I arrived back, he didn't ask me, did I have a good time? His first question was, "Have you made any decisions?" And I was going, "Nearly, nearly." And he says, "Well, you know, you talked about that verse in Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. Maybe the Lord's saying, arise and go to that great city. It doesn't have to be Kathmandu. Maybe the Lord's saying, just come up to us in Madrid. You've got the language, you've got the culture, you fit in well with the people. Maybe the Lord's just having to move you so that you realise that it's time to move from where you were in Spain. And rather than having to start all over again." But you know, every time I thought of it, and I spent many months praying about it, but every time I thought of it, I was just brought again to those words in Isaiah, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." Now the English version says, "When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." But you know, in my Spanish, I was reading the Bible in Spanish, and it says, "Don't turn to the left, and don't turn to the right." And every time I thought of just staying in Madrid, because it would have been so much easier, all I could hear was, this is the way, walk ye in it, don't turn to the left, and don't turn to the right. And I knew that the Lord was clearly saying that, Joy, your time in Spain, your preparation that you've had in Spain, that time is over, that it's now a time to move on and to go to the land of Nepal. And it is a privilege that the board has again confidence in us to send us out to this land. It will be very different. It is definitely a different culture, definitely a different language, and it will just need that wee bit of time learning everything. But do pray for us. I really need his help with the language. It is totally different to ours. The people do tend to know a little bit of English, but once you ask them like the question, like, "What is your name? Where do you live? You know, have you brothers and sisters?" Once you get over those types of questions and ask them something more, they can't reply. They just don't have a good enough grasp. And so you really do need to learn the Nepalese language. I was in one of my very first meetings, and one of the men just said to me, "Says, Joy, do you really need to learn the language?" And I replied to him, "Well, you know, I like to talk." I couldn't survive there without the language. I really don't know how Wesley and Carl have coped these 10 years. Maybe it's because they have each other to talk to, but there's nothing worse than not being able to talk to people, or to ask them how are they doing, how are you feeling, or if somebody's sick, to go and see, are they, have they improved, can you go and visit, is there anything you can do to help them? You need the language for those basic things. And I would ask that you would pray especially for the language, because what I hope to do all hinges on how well I can get the language to be able to communicate with these people. Pray also for our young people. We have two young people, especially Sarita and Zach, the son of the Reverend Thapa, who want to be missionary doctors. And it's a real privilege, as Sarita has now got all her paperwork and is in Bangladesh studying. And she went about 2 weeks late because the government held off her papers and wouldn't give her the papers. They were looking a bribe. But eventually she was able to get all the papers to allow her to go. And I was just speaking with her on Friday, and Thursday had been her birthday. She had turned 19, and she's in a different country. She has no friends there, but she says there's a number of other Nepalese girls there, and they have sort of like befriended her to try and encourage her. But really do pray for Sarita. She's never been out of her country. She's never been away from her parents. And those especially who have went to university, you understand what it is to be away from your family for that very first time and how difficult it is. She will be away 5 months and then be allowed home for about a month, and then she'll be back again for 5 months, and this will be over a period of 5 years. But pray for her that the Lord will really just help her and keep her with that interest of being a missionary doctor. It is so important in these villages that we have doctors that can go with the medicine, because most of the villages don't have that, like a clinic even for the people to go to. Sadly, we had one of our students who has done the first part of the Bible course just there in October, November. He had done his first 3 months. He had went home for Christmas, and they were to start again, I think it's tomorrow. They're starting again now. And he was at home preparing to go back for another 2 months of college. And he was encouraging his wife, and they've got three children, and the youngest is 18 months old. And he was encouraging his wife before going to bed, saying, you know, we have to serve the Master. But first we have to know him. We have to have him as our Saviour. And he was encouraging his children and his wife to keep on with the Lord. And when they woke up in the morning, the wife woke up, but she woke up to find that her husband had gone to glory. Pray for that lady. This will be extremely, extremely difficult for her. She has no other resort. Her husband was the one that brought in he was the worker. With three small children, she's going to have to feed them herself. Pray that really the Lord will draw nigh to her. And with him, he had not been ill. The Reverend Fappa was saying that he hadn't been ill. It wasn't that he had been sick or anything. But the Lord just called him home. But pray that the Lord will really help this lady. Pray too that the Lord will raise up others and more missionaries to come. It says, His way is perfect. And I can tell all the young people and older people, God's way is perfect. He has maybe moved me a little, not I think as much as Mr. Johnson has moved around the province, but he does move us. Are you where God wants you to be? Have you been seeking his will? If you want to know what God's will is, you have to be reading his word, because that's how he speaks to us. We don't need visions in the night. We've got the perfect vision, which is his word. And he tells us clearly from his word how he wants us to move and where he wants us to be. I would challenge you all to seek God and check and see, are you doing what God wants you to do? Maybe the Lord has been burdening you for someone to witness to someone or to invite someone to come to church. I would encourage you to go forward with God. You know, when we give our all to the Master, it's marvellous what he can do with lives that are wholly given on to him. And I would challenge you all to seek and to search the scripture and search, pray to the Lord. Show me somebody else that I can invite to come to the church here so that they can hear this wonderful message of Jesus Christ. Or maybe even just someone you have to give a tract to. Seek God. He will lead you. He will guide you. Because that's the type of God we have. We have a wonderful, a marvellous God. And even though he's moving me to the other side of the world, I know that he's coming with me. And he'll be with me every step of every day. Pray for us. Thank you.